Thought you were speaking, she had a very, just the lightest thing for you to say, which it didn't, leaks. So, as a businessman, I hate to do it at all, but the way, like, we're not gonna crap around with it anymore. I don't care if they gave the cap. Because I got that in. With only the call in present, and I said, no, look, if more of this stuff happens, like the call, and I said, he's gonna be the Lord High Executioner. I said, he's gonna come in. And I said, when he calls, it's me calling. Yeah. Don't assume that it's the White House doing it. And if they just got to me, I would be softer. I said, if you get to me, I'll be tougher. So we gotta do it that way. And where's, what is happening is that so you can see the iceberg thing, sort of, is typical. But there is right down through the line, it's this passion to seek publicity. It's a passion to, well, first, to seek publicity. And someone who was in. Someone who was in. Not only Catholic people, but some of their supporters. Some subordinates want to do this, and others simply want to look good with the press. But in either event, both are doing enormous harm, because then the only guy that makes the decision is going to fall, or is myself.
In business, this kind of crap could go on once, and I'll tell you, there'd be more firings than you ever saw.
But you can do that, can't you?
And then they learn lots of things. I've got lots of covers. We're ready to go faster, perhaps, than we like. Japan. We've got an attitude problem here that I think is valid, but I want to be sure you and I talk about it. Centered around state. I'll give you two or three very quick anecdotes.
Before we get through that, let me ask you to do one other thing. They are thinking about, we either think about sending grain to Japan. You know him? Do you think he's strong enough?
My question is whether he's tough enough.
All right. I want you to take, don't tell anybody you're doing this, but I want you to run through your mind the toughest, strongest, ablest businessman that could be at the moment. I mean, somebody that will fight like hell for us. Because I have great doubts that we can afford it. All right, I had an agreement to have it only for a year anyway, but I don't know if we can afford it this year.
The most important aggregation businessmen in Japan were here, you may know, about a week ago, Thursday and Friday, the so-called Kaidan Ren, which is what relates to Sato, you know, and that partnership they have over there. And they met with guys like Roach and G. Halliday and Don Kendall and, you know, I mean, the American elite. And in the course of the presentation from state to them, John got very urgent to call, saying it was a fiasco. I got four calls. Saying it was a fiasco. Why? By state. By state, Alex Johnson made a presentation. Now, why was it a fiasco? Well, apparently, he spent a great deal of his time talking about what a
pretty,
no, that's what a blind thing open out was.
Oh, Christ.
Now,
sucking around.
Well, you can appreciate how a bunch of businessmen would respond to this. So I called Alex and said, well, this doesn't go over very well. You to talk about it now, because 97% of the businessmen said, we got screwed. How the hell did we get something for that? Which problems we got? I get memoranda for them that are briefing, you know, me and Bill Rogers for, you know, ambassadors and that sort of thing. And the tone of it is present. It goes something like this. Our relationships with Japan are really basically good economic relationships. Bill Rogers called me yesterday to send a speech over, and I, you know, that he intended to give to the Japan Society. It's got comments in there that, well, I just made a note here. We're five times larger than Japan. Our companies are five times larger. And the total effect of this on the, you know, the business community, it's one of, the world really hasn't changed very much in the last 10, 15 years. It really isn't much more competitive. We can really take these fellows at their word. They're making progress. And it's creating this, you know, some rather substantial problems. So I just want to take a minute to go through my philosophy, and I've got a date, hopefully, with Bill Rogers on Thursday, but I want to be sure that you and I are ahead of this. I had a teacher who said to me, I've been looking for a way that you could do the unilateral business, because if we try to do this legislatively, we are in trouble. I say the officer, at least 50-50, we found that there is a balance of payments provision. This is what I mean by making a lemonade out of lemons. It says if you have persistent balance of payments problems, you can take unilateral action to get those problems taken care of. As long as it's non-discriminatory. When I've got a thing this big, we've been trying to plan the strategy. But we think we could pick some product categories, quote unquote non-discriminatory, whereby taking, let's say, the 1970 base, like automobiles, you know, some of the other stuff, it would have a tremendous impact on the Japanese, and they would understand it. Now, having dealt with those people, as you and I have discussed before, for 10 years, my impression is the right way to deal with it is not with a lot of public print in which you get into a political battle, you know, on the headline, but behind the scenes, very quietly, but very discreetly, but very toughly. And my scenario is very different from what the State Department's talking about, which would be sure you got jawbone with teeth in it, you know, something like this. And then you sit down quietly within the back room and say, these four things are terribly important, you know, to get done. The yen, the restrictions, etc. Try to put a little positive on it by perhaps bringing them into Southeast Asia in some way or something. But on the tough bargaining, I think you need a unilateral, tough-minded view that you're willing to back up, in which, in effect, they understand that unless they take certain actions, we're going to have to take other actions, you know, to redress this balance of payments argument. The reason I think it's a possibility is, thank God, we've got all these guys saying we've got a balance of payments problem. You know, the head of the IMF, I've got statements from everybody. But the reason I want to be sure you and I are together on this is I think I have to sit down with Bill and go through the Japanese problem and say, Bill, not that I'm speaking for you necessarily, but my perception, and is there a totally new force on the scene?
Here's what he will raise.
Yeah.
He always raises Conley hit him on this some small gathering a couple of weeks ago. And there's nothing specific. So be damn specific, giving three or four.
Oh, hell, the yen is probably undervalued by 15-25%. And that alone would make a tremendous difference.
No, specific where we're getting hurt. Well, textiles, automobiles, you name it, I think, right?
Oh, we've got a trade deficit this year that looks like $3 billion. And you see, one of the mistakes we make is we take these people at their word. Now, they've come out with these ads, you may have seen them, they had them in the newspapers, that talk about responsible marketing. I confronted the Japanese with their own five-year plan. So while they're out making speeches about responsible marketing and this sort of thing, I know what their own balance of trade is. For the United States this year, it looks to me like a number of like $3 billion in the hole.
With Japan?
With Japan alone.
Oh, right.
It's just skyrocketing.
Got it.
Secondly, while they're talking about responsible marketing, their 1975 Economic Planning Agency projection is for somewhere between $8 and $12 billion surplus on trade. You see?
So where are they going to get it?
Well, where are they going to get it? They're going to get it out of other people.
Why the hell are Europeans on their own?
That's right. So, I think, I've got all the specifics I think I need, but I need to assure you and I
have a comedy person.
Oh my God, I'm John is just
off the back all the way.
All right. Second thing you gave me to do was technology, and let me tell you what we're doing. First, with regard to Japan, and I'm going to sound like I'm hung up on Japan, I hope not.
I don't mind.
Japan's 10-year plan, I've just gotten hold of, and I've read very carefully. And in the book that I'm handing out on a briefing, you know, I'm going to ask you to do some reading in that so that you can get your own flavor.
Good.
Japan is obviously in this next decade going to build up their own technology and cheap on the outside. Their own plan is to go up by a factor of 5 or 6 times in the 70s, from a little over $2 billion on, you know, industrial R&D to $12 billion. So they're entering a new phase. Now, I think this makes this technology U.S. problem that we've talked about all the more important that we really give ourselves a shot in the arm. Now, I've sat down with David, as you suggested, and all those guys. I'm putting the following wrinkle on it for your consideration and theirs. when we pick these projects, I would urge us to have three or four criteria in mind. Very importantly, jobs, because I think we're getting in the posture. You asked me to meet with labor, and I'm lucky to come here alive. They're just taking it apart in jobs, and we don't give a damn about unemployment. We don't give a damn about the job. I've come up with a happy number I've read you about. You may or may not remember. 100 million jobs by the end of this decade is the number we're going to have to
put. 100 million jobs, right?
Remember you and I were talking about
bias. You got to give a target.
Now, the emphasis I think we should put on several of these technology products is new jobs and new industries. So you will need 20 million more by the end of the decade. So when you pick whether you go into water or something else, I respectfully submit that job input should be a very important criteria. The second one that I've suggested to David and friends is be sure it's an American industry and not just science for the world. And that means patents and it means, uniqueness. And I suggested to Ed that on each one of these major goals, water, et cetera, he do what you and I talked about. Find the three or four best invented minds in the United States. Get them thoroughly excited about it and put a lot of emphasis on the quality idea as a very important criteria. And I said, Ed, if all you do is spend $50 million on a dull idea, it's the stud horse approach to this problem. So that's the second one.
The quality idea.
The quality of the people working on it. And this is a recruiting job. I mean, in certain fields, Den Land is great. In other fields, he doesn't know anything about it. And I think we can attract them, particularly with a little help from you. So we're working very hard on that. Long-range planning, you and I briefly talked about this. I've since had several discussions with Roy Ash about this and Heinemann. I've tried it out on some business people. You would be very surprised, I think, at the virtual unanimity of view that this country has got to do some more economic planning in its future. At the very least, I mean, the most conservative businessmen, the Peter Flanagan has appeared to the most liberal, say we're competing in a world where they're picking projects, they're picking goals, they're doing joint R&D, and they have a better sense of where they're going. One of the reasons I want you to read this, it'll be in a couple of days on my hand, is just to get a sense of how they go about thinking about their future.
The thing is, too, we have done very well growing like Potsy.
Right.
And I must say, I'm a lazy American,
for sure,
in terms of trade and in terms of American competitive system, because I have seen that the planet screw things up so much in most places in the world. But, I don't know what our earned wage and price control, or whatever he wants, I do say that we've got to have some long-range planning and goals because of the massive, first, the competition abroad, and second, because of the massive effect government now has, whether it wants or not. And goddamn it, the government's got expected to do it, isn't it?
Right.
And I also, you do not have the business entrepreneurs.
Or the money. Some of these projects are enormous.
And like Acres Peak.
Yeah, they're just bigger than any company can do.
So they say we want her.
And Japan and Europe put it all together, you see, and we with our antitrust don't do it.
Right.
Now, my specific proposal, which I hope to have to you in a couple of days, I'm not sure he's with us, I'm
sure,
is to make this rather a little bit bipartisan. Now, I have not told either Roy Ash or Ben Hyman what your views are. I simply said I'm thinking about it. Ben, you remember, headed Johnson's reorganization thing. Roy Ash headed yours. They're both very hot on this. They both think it's a problem. And I'll send something into you, but if you have any final objections to this, their specific mission would be a very narrow one. What kind of planning makes sense for the United States and where should it be, organized?
Right.
I hope, frankly, instead of swimming before we know how to even walk in the water, we might start out on a limited basis where we might take four or five goals, got technology in it, economics in it, instead of trying to, socialize this country. We do that, in a certain amount of limited degree. But you'll have something on that, and I think you're going to find more receptivity than I would have thought from the business community. This is, who normally you think we kind of let the market decide, but they now know we're in a different world. Next subject. I don't even know whether generalized preferences means much to you or not, but you remember that's the thing you do for the less developed.
Yeah, we're doing it mainly because because they're doing it for Latin America.
Well,
I say that's what you're going to do.
You've made various public commitments. Trevor Rogers made very.
Now I made it with a bad Latin.
So let me tell you the problem as I see it. We're running a trade deficit now for the second month in a row. First time in a long time. 1971 will be lucky to be break even this summer between minus one and plus one. We're trying to project an image of protecting the United States' economic interests and, you know, our future and our jobs and our technology, you know, that kind of a flavor. Tough mind.
I mean, if you feel that we should back off the damn thing, we'll just do it. We'll postpone it.
Well, this is my
opinion.
I think this is the world's worst time for you to be coming out with what looks like a generous, liberal program aimed for the rest of the world.
Well, also a generous, liberal program. He didn't need trade.
That's what I mean.
The State Department wants me to, you know, go out with it. We've got to be for a liberal trade program. They know we have to be for a liberal trade policy, not unless we get something forever to change.
No,
I agree.
So the problem you're going to have is...
Yeah, I can't say it.
I'm getting statements. Bill Rogers has made some very strong statements. I'm getting pressured by state. I'm telling them, my sense of timing is it's bad timing to do this.
No, just tell me. I just can't get through. You can just tell them that I have made a political check. As far as the politics is concerned, this is deadly, and I will not. I'm just going to delay it, and that's it.
Now, they say Wilbur Mills will sit on it, and my response to that is...
Oh, Jesus Christ, we're for it, and everybody's not beating our brains out about it.
No, sir. I said, gentlemen,
no, sir.
If there's one thing I've learned...
Just say we're working on it.
Wilbur Mills is like a four-cushion shooter.
That's right. Don't you think we could just continue to study it? Isn't that
well, that's why I'd stall.
That's right.
We're appraising it. Our plan is more generous than Europeans. The first thing that's going to happen on that hill... is they're going to say, you guys keep talking about a new tough policy preserving our economic interests, and here you are getting the star away.
Conway, of course, you know what he is, and he said he's going to get something in a month. So, but he believes we may have to go for some quarters.
Well, this Japanese, thing I'm talking about
is along those lines.
Now,
I'm glad to hear it. It's good politics.
Yeah.
Good politics, and it's good business that helps. It's a good business. Good politics may be enough too.
Now, textiles and shoes, just a word on that. Taiwan looks pretty good. Korea seems to be stalling. They're very tough. Al Haig and I met, you know, about the vice president's visit, and I went to see him. Our strategy was very clear. We did not want him getting involved in the specifics. So all I said to him was, he knew how important this was to you politically in view of your commitment. We wanted it to be your solution rather than Wilbur Mills', you know, solution. But David Kennedy was a guy that had the responsibility, and it was very important that we be united. And I tried to keep him out of the thing. Now, there's a very interesting development. I just talked to Jurek this morning from Japan, and I've suggested what may seem to you like a screwy strategy, but let me tell you what the problem is. We started out saying we'd take Taiwan, Korea, and Hong Kong, you remember, and we found that section 204 where you can impose it on the Japanese. The Japanese have been getting this message, apparently. I just gave them hell when we were here privately. John Conley's been doing the same thing. I've been saying it to them. Our patience is running out. The time is now. You know, that sort of thing. They now seem much more comfortable doing something on textiles. It's better than the Mills do. So I proposed to them the following screwy idea, make it screwy and maybe it's just sitting loose, I don't know, which is instead of applying section 204 to the Japanese, we don't give a damn when we apply it against them. The name of this game is to get the problem solved. And
right.
Any three, we apply against the fourth one. So you may end up with the incredible outcome where we do a deal with, let's say, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and finally Hong Kong is being sticky, or the other three. But all we need is three and apply it to the fourth. Okay, so it's not what we planned originally, but
sure.
I want you to know that.
Sure. In other words, you think the Japanese will make a deal?
They make a deal before the others will, because I think they realize now how serious it is.
Well, in other words, you accomplish something. Yeah. Keep the heat on, do it any way you can, screw it, any other way. Just...
Now, shoes is the second part of the strategy. I think David, you know, David has his reputation of being kind of a soft guy. He used to say this. He's quiet. He's discreet. The industry's not quite a lot happier with what's going on. But he has made a deal with the attendance, which surprised a lot of people around town. It's a low growth rate. They're unanimous about it. Some of your political friends in the shoe industry can't believe it. We're keeping it quiet. Now, the other one there, you remember, is Haiti. Now, they're being sticky. They want generalized preferences, et cetera. But I want you to know, it looks like we've got half of that.
Why can't we do it in Spanish?
Well, you have that treaty of friendship deal, you know, and we've come up with 8 or 10, 15 little things to do there. There isn't a hell of a lot we can do in the military.
We've given them everything already.
And we've given them paid and all that stuff.
And of course, the Congress will approve it.
The other thing they want is generalized preferences, and so Spain can have it both ways, but that gets us into this.
Oh, no. We aren't going to have any generalized preferences, but we can tolerate promises for the future. Mm-hmm. Promise them anything for the future, say 3 or 4 years from now, we'll consider it a couple of years from now, but right now we've got to deal with this problem. Right now, generalized preferences, we're kind of trees. And it just says it's not in our interest, but if you don't purchase the shoe thing, there's no prayer for any generalized preference. But we push also to get them into Europe.
Okay, next subject, common market. I've talked with Henry about this, and I'm assuming in the session. I would like to convey directly to you my feeling about Europe at the moment. I have a feeling from every input I can get from Europe that they're getting increasingly preoccupied with themselves, with their growth, with their success, with the way they're zooming. And the big risk we have in Europe, as ironical as it's been seen, is that the very success of that enterprise may end up biting us economically. And I've told Henry that I think we need a major initiative on the common market. I mean, something big enough, you know, to get ourselves into that thing so that we don't wake up 3 years from now finding ourselves, you know, looking at that thing from the outside in. Now, that might include something dramatic on tariffs where we become part of that, you know, the old Atlantic idea. John Conley's working on some monetary ideas. I told Henry we need the best friends in this country trying to make a lemonade out of security. You know, something that makes that a virtue instead of a handicap. But while we got this OECD business, you know, you remember that study group?
Yeah.
That I have never seen anything bold come out of 18 guys on the committee.
I'm worried of that.
So I want
to decide what we want,
right,
in a small group, and then we sell it.
Right.
Now that's just quit crapping around this 18 thing. That's just silly. Right. Absolutely silly.
But I want you to know, I think we need a major initiative.
I couldn't agree more, and I want you to tell Henry that I wanted to put the best goddamn people he's got to get along with some of this Ecuadorian fisheries, but you know that I think we're going to screw around.
Expropriation, I wrote you a brief note on that. My philosophy, I don't know, may be different than yours. While John and I are together on, I think, 95% of it. But we may be a little different on this. Not that we shouldn't have a very big stick, because I pushed on sugar to give you the discretion to do that. I would do it on aid, loans, every damn thing we could. I'm a little worried about public speakers. Because I've been doing
on expropriation.
For this reason, I've been doing the studies of what is affected, and what I find is, and maybe I'm reading history wrong, is if we make too much noise in the newspapers, we then create a new issue, and the opponents down there grab onto the fact that Yankee Sam
Peru,
yeah,
we're handling that relatively well.
No.
I think that deal they made with Occidental.
Yeah, not
that.
What
the hell?
Not that.
Of course, will make any deal.
Right.
No, supply by not there, but pretty successful one.
Right.
Arnold Hammers. Hammer, yeah, the Occidental.
Right.
But anyway, they made it. That's a hell of a good thing.
Right.
If that sticks, gee, that's going to be great for Peru and great for Occidental.
So, where I differ a little bit, I want every stick you can have in your pocket, and I want every
chicken. You don't want to like that.
Newspaper headlines, I'm a little worried they create...
Well, John, of course, is thinking, I guess you're right, he's thinking of the political benefit.
At home.
At home. On the other hand,
if you don't deliver...
He would like to have something.
Yeah.
He'd like to find one enemy, one son of a bitch that you could really kid, but that's what he needs. You see?
Yeah.
You know, not, maybe not on this. Maybe it's a hopeless case, let's do it like Chile.
Yeah.
Kick him.
Okay.
Right. But not Peru.
That's like Peru. That's what I'm saying.
Where my wife is having some lunch with Mrs. Velasco. She gave lunch with her. No one there.
Right. Okay. Russia, east, west. We've now completed the study. You asked for the commercial opportunities. Remember, you asked for how much trade and so forth. Now, Henry and I just have to be together on this, but I want to give you two inputs. The pressure for east-west trade from the business sector is just going up like this.
Sure.
Because our export position is weak, our balance is weak, our value in business, you know that. Secondly, every contact I have with Russians, they betray an anxiety that I find hard to understand about making a deal. First of all, this fellow Komarov is over here, you know, the economic minister, vice minister, who tried to pretend as though he and DeBreen, and so I'd invited a delegation down here. When I had all I said to him is send in a piece of paper, you know, and the next thing I know, they're here. I saw DeBreen on Saturday night at a party, and Henry and I had cleared this. DeBreen dragged me in the door. Now, Mr. Peterson, you and I must work together on this Connor River project. We can't be the reason you failed. I have said to him, Mr. Kissinger will be in touch with you, you know, on Monday. Well, even if Mr. Kissinger calls on Monday, shouldn't you and I work together? I said, you'll hear from Mr. Kissinger on Monday. They're threatening to cancel the Connor River deal with cables and all that kind of business. What I'm trying to say here is something's going on here of an anxiety that's kind of unusual for diplomats, because they just seem terribly anxious to make a deal. Now, I'm going to see Henry this afternoon. Let me tell you the wrinkle. I'd like to suggest you fellas throw into this. I know it's going to be involved with salt. I'd like to throw consumer goods into this deal.
How do we get them?
Well, they've expressed a little bit of interest in consumer goods and consumer goods hardware. I'd like to suggest we do it for two reasons. In the first place, it's more business for us. But secondly, from a political standpoint, anything that diverts their resources,
I agree.
I don't understand. And a package deal is what I'm thinking.
How do we do that without, you got to take a loan, you have to, it's credit.
No, they said they'll handle the finance problem. And of course, what's happening is your friend at
Waste Price,
what's his name, Hanson, isn't that his name? I think he's a friend of yours. He was up that way, LeBron thing. They're drumming up magazine stories about the deal and so forth.
What can we do for that?
Well, I think I'm going to talk to Henry. We've got a list of consumer items that maybe we can throw into the deal and make a package deal. So when you announce it, you're detracting the military thing and buying more business for the Americans. Now, I'm saying they seem so anxious, I think you maybe can get a little more than you might think. Unless I'm reading wrong.
Let's come again. You mean when we announce what?
Well, let's assume we decide to go ahead with this. I thought perhaps we should discuss this. You know, this linkage between the big truck deal.
Oh, yes.
And the salt,
yeah.
You know, deal.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big deal, and they're dying to get it. I'm saying we might be able to throw a little
consumer. Was the truck deal look like it's more military?
More military, and it might make you look like you're
agree more. Great idea. Calendar, that's a very it'll sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, it might open some doors.
Might have anything that gets that country spending less on defense than for.
And you know, it's a poor country too. And goddamn, that's what we're pretty good at. I think we made consumer goods.
Yes,
for cameras. None of the cameras we make is radios.
Yeah, it's a radio.
Oh, yeah, it's radio
electronics. And the next item, a deputy for me, we talked about Jim Schlesinger, he's taken the EDC. I understand I got a little image problem with being some kind of a liberal.
Is he going to the EDC?
I think he is.
It's all right with him.
A guy has come up that might surprise you, who spent 14 months on the Williams Trade Commission. He's not an economist, but he's somebody I'm told you think highly of, and others do, which is Dick Allen. Now, you remember Dick Allen?
I know.
Yeah. Now, Dick, I think, would be, he's very much interested in doing this.
Can he keep up with you?
Hardly. Well, he's been killing himself on some special projects. I don't know.
Is he?
Yeah.
Does he move fast enough? Does his mind move fast enough? I don't know him that well.
Yeah.
It's the main
problem. I talked with Haldeman and Ehrlichman.
Yeah. Yeah. He's finally in the image, and it's great. We've got another project at the present time. We have to put somebody on it, which is terribly important. you got to be classifying a hell of a lot of documents. World War One, I mean, World War Two, Korea, et cetera, we're going to get that system cleaned up one way or another. And Alan would be superb at that. Let me say, I don't think your image problem is all that great. I don't think so. I mean, you just keep going around talking like you are, and they're going to think you're... And also, as you get in a fight with state, if your image would be good, if there's any confidentiality, that's irrelevant. Now, let me say, do you know anybody else? Do you have any other candidate?
Well, the other guy is a guy that's very liberal, and he's had Democratic connections, and I'm just in an election.
You probably shouldn't go that far. You don't have any. The trouble is, it's so hard to find a Republican who isn't out there.
Yeah. You know, that seems to be very anxious to do it.
Well, how soon do you have to have it?
Well, we got just two or three people. You're going to get this report in a couple of days. I'd love to read as much of it.
I better read it. Wait a second. So be sure to get it to me by the head.
You know, you'll get it before. You know, two or three sections in particular.
Mark the things that you're reading when you're based upon.
There is a question by some of your associates as to how far we should go with this briefing. In terms of
on idea leaders now, you scare the hell out of people.
Yeah.
Told the group staffers. Yeah, I know. I had to see Hall of them before Congress. But for that matter, I'll tell you what you do. Let me enter this later group. You go over to talk to Bob and come back and I'll let you know about 5 or 6. Okay. Where are they? The director chapter was the greatest. You bring my head now.
Sure.
And then how about you? By the time that I had their problems out,